I love that song, and that goes right along with what I want to preach on throughout this day. Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to James, James chapter number 5, James chapter 5. On the eve of us having this church prayer seminar, and you say, well, Pastor, what is it about? Well, it's basically a time for us to dedicate time to think, to study, and to pray. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow night. And I want to encourage you to be here. Be a part of this. And I believe that the great need of today is for Christians to pray. I really believe that. You say, Pastor, do we need revival in America? Absolutely. But may I say to you that I believe that the greatest revival that we could ever have would be simply Christians. I'm talking about God's people praying like they should pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And you see, that key is to humble ourselves. And I'm asking God to do something in my own life. You know, I need this. I need the seminar tomorrow. I need the pastor's seminar on Tuesday. There is so much to pray about. And I believe the devil wants to keep us off of our knees in prayer. In fact, the devil is fine with our organizations. He's fine with our programs. He's fine with our building projects if the devil can keep us away from prayer. I want to encourage you to pray in your home. Husbands and wives, pray together. Pray with your families. Pray. When you struggle, pray. When you have difficulties with people, pray for them. When we pray for them, God changes our hearts. He changes our thinking. And prayer is the greatest untapped resource that we have today in the life of the Christian. And this morning, I want to preach on this subject, working with God in prayer. Do you know that it is possible for you and me to work with God? Now, that is a great thought to me this morning, that I can work with God. And by the way, what God is doing, He gets accomplished. And what the Lord is doing is an eternal work, and it's an effective work. I remember what Oswald Smith said. Oswald Smith said, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And brethren, there is only so much that you and I can do. May I say this to you? Like I said this morning in the prayer, I really have nothing to say. My wisdom, all that I have studied really means nothing. But it does mean what God has to say this morning. And it does matter what the Lord does speak to our heart. Brother, there's only so much you can do in your family. Husbands, only so much you can do to lead your family. Wives, there's only so much you can do to help your husbands and to train your children. There is only so much we can do. And we are to obey the Lord and to seek His face. But brother, when we pray, God begins to work. And when we pray, we are working with God to accomplish His sovereign purpose in life. I'm reminded what F.B. Meyer, one of my favorite authors, has said. He said, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say that the reason for our failure in our Christian lives is simply because we do not pray. I'm convicted every time I talk about prayer. I'm convicted when I talk about it, when I think about it, when I preach about it. I do pray, and I'm asking God to help me to be a man of prayer. But this morning, working with God in prayer. Let's go to James chapter 5. And I want us to notice, beginning in verse number 13, we will read down to verse number 18. James chapter number 5. And let us begin in verse number 13. And if you will allow me this morning to read a few verses and maybe stop and explain some things. But I want you to notice in verses 13 through 18 how many times the word pray or prayer is used. God places such an emphasis on prayer. James 5, verse 13, the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, let me stop and say this. I want to explain that verse. When I became a pastor, I had to decide and determine, based on the authority of Scripture, what this verse meant. I've been to churches, and great churches, where they pray over someone that maybe is sick, someone that has cancer, what it may be, and they anoint them with oil, and they pray for them, and they believe that that is what this verse is teaching. I do not believe that this is what the Bible is teaching there. You have to understand, during the days of James, when James wrote this, they were not doctors as we have today. And when they did pray over someone that was sick, and that is what the Lord wants us to do, is to pray over them, when they anointed them with oil, it was a medicinal type of thing that they did. You can understand how dangerous it can get when we start thinking about the types of oils. Well, what kind of oil do you use? And is there any healing power in the oil? No, there is not. And the idea that was used here was that they would come, they would pray, and there was a type of medicine that they would give and administer to the one that is sick. And by the way, I know there's lots of oils out there today. Some of these ladies get into that type of stuff. And God bless you, however you want to use it, all right? And the only type of oil I like is Chick-fil-A oil. Praise God for that, all right? And I use oil in my car, but, you know, so I know ladies get into this type of stuff, all right? But anyway, that verse is referencing to the medicinal things that were used. There is no healing power in putting oil on someone's body as far as praying over them and doing that. The ideal goes on in verse number 15, and notice what it says. It says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, now the word there is Elijah. And it's saying, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now I want you to notice in verses 16 and 17 mainly, where the Bible says at the end of verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brethren, today, how can you and I work with God in prayer? Now, you may say today, well, Pastor, I can be a Christian and not pray. And I agree with you. But may I say to you, you cannot be a good Christian and not pray. It's kind of the idea of this. You know something? You can be a Christian and not pray, just like you can be married and not talk to your spouse. But may I say to you that in both circumstances, you will be miserable. I can promise you that. You know, you take a couple that are married, a husband and a wife. You know something? There must be communication. There must be talking going on. There must be fellowship going on. There must be that they are talking to one another and sharing their needs and their burdens and their heartache and all of that. That is good for a marriage. And that's what the Bible says, that the husband and wife are to dwell together. They are to be one, and they are one. And look here, if a husband does not spend time talking with his wife, there's going to be no fellowship there. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be a hindrance to their fellowship. And in the life of the Christian, prayer is our direct line to God. Prayer is how we fellowship with God. Prayer is how we bear our heart to our Heavenly Father. You know something? When I first came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 17, I understood that I was to pray. But buddy, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody had to ask me to pray. I remember that night when I went home after accepting Jesus Christ that day as my Savior. I remember I got on the side of my bed and I began to pray. You know something? It was sweet. It was wonderful. You know why? Because now God was my Father, and now I could enter into the very throne room of God by the merit of Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. You see, He made it possible for me to talk and to fellowship with God. And I can still remember that night praying. And boy, I didn't want to stop the prayer, because I was talking to God and I was thanking Him for saving my lost and wretched soul. And I was fellowshipping with my Heavenly Father. But brother, may I tell you, there have been many times just like that, to where I enjoy the time of fellowship and prayer. But may I say to you, there have been times when I have not prayed as I should. In fact, Luke 18:1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you know that when we faint in our Christian life, and where do we faint at? We faint in our minds and our hearts. We faint, we quit on God in a sense. We stop reading the Bible, we stop serving the Lord. Maybe we don't forgive someone or whatever it may be. It is because we are not praying. Today, working with God in prayer. Number one, I want you to notice the privilege of prayer. Do you know that in every relationship there are responsibilities and there are privileges? So often we think of prayer as a duty. We think of prayer as work and as labor. You know, I've seen, I don't know if you've seen this little, I think it's a circus cartoon before, and it has on there a mom, and she has just cleaned the entire house. The laundry's done, dishes are done, everything is spotless, and the kids are coming home, and she's locked all the doors, and she's keeping them out, and she's taking pictures because it's usually not like that, you know? And the ideal is I'm keeping them out as long as I can, because I'm going to enjoy a clean house for just a moment. And I'm sure some of you ladies feel that way. You just get the laundry done, and then they go outside and play, and then there's no telling how much laundry you have to do after that. Or you just clean the dishes, and now they needed a snack, and you've got to clean dishes again. Or, you know, it just happens that way, does it not? But you know something? It really is a privilege to take care of children, because one day the children will be gone. And one day you'll give anything to have the dirty clothes again or the dirty dishes, because it meant they were there in your home. And brethren, prayer is not meant for us to see it as just a duty and something that we have to do. Prayer is a great privilege for the life of the child of God. It is a great opportunity that you and me can enter into the throne room of God and spend time with our Heavenly Father. I believe this. I believe there is a day coming, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. But may I say to you, I believe there's coming a day when we will think, why did I not pray like I should have prayed? Why did I not seek the face of God? There is a privilege that you and I have to pray. Let's go back to James chapter 5, because I want to show you something about this man, Elijah. Now, let me give you a little background why James put what he put here. Now, go to verse number 17, and he says this: Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, why did James put that there? Do you understand that during the days when James was living and he wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we need to know that the Jewish people thought of Elijah as someone mystical. In fact, some Jewish people believe that Elijah was sinless, and Elijah was some special angel sent from God, and they had all kinds of thoughts about him, and therefore hindering the prayer life of every child of God. Because, brethren, if Elijah was just another man from heaven and an angel and sinless, then I'm going to tell you something, I can't live up to him. But here James says that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what he was saying there? Elijah got tired, just like you and I get tired. Elijah struggled with sin, just like you and I struggle with sin. Elijah struggled with temptation. He struggled with doubt. He struggled with disbelief. He struggled with all the things that you and I struggle with. He was a man just like you and me. He had like passions. You know what some of us think? We hear about men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or we hear about some of the great preachers or great Christians of years gone by, and sometimes we think that they were, well, they're just a special type of person. And you know, they just had a special communication with God, and God really loved them in a special way, and we could never do what they did. Can I tell you something? Brethren, they were men and women just like you and me. They struggled with sin. They struggled with doubt. They struggled with things in their life that you and I can never imagine. But they were men and women of like passions as we are. Listen, that encourages me that God wants us all to pray. He gives us the privilege of prayer in our lives. And here prayer is a powerful and an effective means of working with God. Think of the thought that you and I can work with God. Look in our passage here, back in verse number 16, in the end part, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the ideal of righteous is this. Now, brethren, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are declared righteous before God. In fact, the very record of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. But the word righteous here is not dealing with your standing before God. It is dealing with your character and your conduct. Can I ask you something today? Are you living a righteous life? I'm talking about living before God righteously, seeking to honor the Lord. And by the way, as we get into the Word of God, and we seek the face of God in prayer, and the Word of God enables us to live a righteous life. That means a life of honesty, a life of integrity, a life of character, a life of truthfulness, a life of love, a life of peace, a life of joy. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit. And brethren, here we must understand that the prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Look here, when you and I are not in fellowship with God, can I tell you something? We really cannot pray. Oh, we can pray, but our heart is not in it. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but I wonder, have you ever come to a time of prayer and you want to spend time with God in prayer, but you know that there are some things in your life that are not right? You know there is some unconfessed sin, maybe some harboring of bitterness. Maybe you are not in fellowship with your spouse. And by the way, do you know what the Bible teaches us? The Bible says that a husband and wife, when they are not right with one another, God says you cannot get your prayers answered. It says that your prayers be not hindered. Brethren, you know something, when I'm not in fellowship with my wife, I cannot be in fellowship with God, and I cannot go to the throne room of God. Because there is something hindering. There is unrighteousness there. And brethren, he who would work with God, and I want to work with God in prayer, cannot harbor unrighteousness in his life. Do you see that prayer does so many things for us? Do you know that if you're really going to pray and live in the spirit or the atmosphere of prayer, it keeps you close to Jesus Christ. It keeps your sins confessed. Now look, I'm not confessing my sin to keep my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's keeping me saved. I am safe in the very arms of Jesus Christ. But when I confess my sin to God daily, and even sometimes moment by moment, it is to stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And here, Elias, yes, he was a great man of God, but he was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed with power. And yet Elijah prayed and he worked with God. Why? Because he was a righteous man. Can I ask you something today? Are you living a righteous life? Let's bring it home. Are the things you're looking at, are they righteous in the eyes of God? Are the things you're reading, are they righteous in the eyes of God? Are the places we visit on the internet, are they righteous before God? Is our conversation at work, is it righteous before God? Are we honest? Are we upright? Do we deal Do we deal truly with one another? Do we treat our family members right? Do we that deals with the righteousness of our life. And brethren, if you and I are going to work with God in prayer, we must not allow any unrighteousness in our life. And by the way, can I say this to you? The great secret of any church, if it is blessed and used of God, is a church that prays. May I say that a praying church creates a spiritual atmosphere most favorable to preaching. Do you know that a church hinders and cripples a pastor if the church does not pray? You know, when there's great liberty in the pulpit, can I tell you why? It's because people are praying. One day someone asked Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the secret of the great success of the Metropolitan Tabernacle and what God was doing there, he said, my people pray for me. Can I tell you how they prayed? While Charles Haddon Spurgeon was preaching, and he preached on a platform, and it had a basement that was underneath the platform. Literally, there was men down there. You know how many men were down there? 500 men. Every time Charles Haddon Spurgeon mounted the pulpit, were underneath him in the basement, praying for God's blessing and praying for people to be saved. That is why that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, every Monday morning, the newspaper in London ran his message from the previous day, and he filled the building four times on Sunday, each with 5,000 people. You see, that is the secret of any ministry. If our church is being blessed and used of God, it is because men and women and boys and girls are praying and seeking the face of God. Listen, a praying church is a church that gets along together. I can promise you this, a church that has division, a church that is not getting along with one another, they're not praying together. Because when we pray together, we come together in agreement before God, and God knits our hearts together. You see how important it is that we have a time like tomorrow night when we have a prayer seminar, that we come together and we pray with one another. We have a time once a month on Saturdays when I pray with the men in our church. I'm going to tell you something, it does something for me. And I pray with a different man every Saturday, and we pray together, and we break up and we pray together. You know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord blesses a church that prays. The Lord blesses a family that prays. Why? Because, brethren, prayer is an act of our declaration of dependence upon God. It is saying, God, I need you. And Lord, I have no wisdom of my own. And I cannot do what needs to be done. You know, when we don't pray, it is really just pride. Because when we don't pray, we are saying, I can handle this. I can do it. Prayer says, God, I need you. Prayer is begging God. It is pleading with God. You know, in fact, a praying church is like a body that is functioning properly. Have you ever had maybe an injury to a certain part of your body? I mean, have you ever had something like that happen? I remember years ago, you know, in Tennessee, we used to run around with no shoes on, you know. That's not very safe, but that's just how we did it, you know. I put on shoes before I come to Ohio, by the way, you know. And but I remember as a kid, man, I'd run everywhere, you know, with no shoes on, feet as calloused as could be, you know. And that was just the way to do it. But I stepped on a bee one time, and I'm kind of allergic, not deathly allergic, but I swell up when I get stung by a bee. And my foot swelled up like you wouldn't believe it, you know. It was just huge. And that happened on Saturday night, by the way, you know, Saturday evening. And next day was church, and I had to go to church with no shoe on, you know, just a sock on, and that's it, walking around. You know something? Because my foot hurt, it made everything else not work right, you know? And brother, may I say to you, a church that is praying together is functioning properly, but a church that is not praying, not seeking the face of God, there is no function there. There is division there. And brethren, in your life and in my life, you know something? Well, my wife and I, we had a sweet hour of prayer last night as we prayed together. And I poured my heart out to God, and she could hear me. And you know something? I'll tell you something, men. You'll never know the heart of your wife until you hear her pray. And ladies, you'll never know the heart of your husband until you hear him pray. Because there's something that happens when we pray. Our heart comes out. The burdens, the trials, our weaknesses, all the things about our life. It comes out in our praying as we seek the face of God. But it binds us together. It unites us. Brethren, there is a privilege that we have to work with God in prayer. I believe this. We will never accomplish at Grace Baptist Church what we need to accomplish unless we pray together. I don't think that you'll ever accomplish what God has called you to accomplish in your own personal life unless you pray and seek the face of God. Prayer connects us to God. Through prayer we get wisdom. Through prayer we get guidance. Through prayer we get protection. We get strength. Prayer is what enables us to live the life that God has called us to live. You know what? I'm afraid of this. Sometimes God's children are more ready with criticism than they are with prayer. You know something? If you criticize someone and you're upset about someone and what they did, can I offer you a solution? Pray for them. Because when you pray for them, your heart will change towards them. I read to you at F.B. Meyer a statement that he made about how that, you know, the saddest thing is not unanswered prayer, it's unoffered prayer. But F.B. Meyer also was a man that was used of God in a great way in a great church. And people were flocking to come and hear him. And then another man came to town. And everybody left somewhat his church and went to hear this other man. And he said, I struggled with envy and jealousy in my heart. And he said, the only way that I could get victory was to pray for that man. And when I prayed for the dear brother in Christ, God released my heart from the envy and the jealousy that I had. You see, the privilege of prayer, brethren, do you understand the great treasure that you have to go to God and to seek His face, and that God bends His ear to you and me, and He asks us to pray. In fact, He invites us to pray. Oh, the privilege that we have. Brethren, the great people of the earth today are the people who pray. No, they don't have time to pray, but they take time to pray. You see, many people think that they cannot do what they once used to do for God. And there's going to come a day when my body is not going to allow me to stand and preach. And maybe you cannot teach a Sunday school class like you used to, or go soul winning like you used to, or do certain things. But can I tell you, the greatest ministry that God has given any of us is the ministry of prayer. Only heaven knows the day that is coming when around the judgment seat of Christ and around where the Lord gives rewards to His servants, I think we are going to see lots of people that no one ever knew about, but people who prayed. And they sought the face of God, and God brought revival, and God brought great things to pass because of the prayers of His people. Now listen to me. I know this gets a little confusing. We think, well, Pastor, wait a minute. God is able to do all things. Yes. But does God wait for our praying? Yes. Because Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, our God is capable. Our God is able. But do you know that we, in a sense, bind the hands of God, of an almighty and all-powerful God, when we do not seek His face in prayer? We work with God in prayer. The privilege of prayer. Number two, I want you to notice the partnership of prayer. Do you know, here's what's amazing to me. When you and I pray, do you know what we do? We partner with God. I'm reminded of what the Bible says. Would you take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 11. And this passage God has been using in my life just recently. I've known of this passage, Matthew 11. We look in verse number 28. And I want you to notice this. Would you like to partner with God? Would you like God to work in and through you? Would you like to be a part of the work of God? Can I say something to you? The Christian life is not for you and me to figure out what we're going to do with our life. The Christian life is not for us to say, well, this is what I want to do. No, brethren, we need to find out what God is doing and get in on God's work and allow God to work through us. You see, the church, we think about the church, that's God's ideal. We didn't come up with the idea of church. Think about marriage, that's God's idea. We didn't come up with marriage. Brethren, we must simply be yielded and surrendered vessels that God can work through. Matthew 11, verse 28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May I stop and say, are you labored and heavy laden today? You got burdens, you got difficulties, you got the burden of maybe your own failures, the burden of your own difficulties and trials. God says, come. And then he says this, verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now look up here. Sometimes we think that prayer is, boy, I got an agonizing prayer. And I believe there is a fervency that God wants in our prayer life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But sometimes we think the Christian life is so difficult and it is so hard. And can I tell you something? The Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life is impossible. You and I cannot live the Christian life, and God never intended for us to live it in our own strength. That is why the Bible says, take my yoke upon you. The idea of the analogy is a yoke of oxen, and they're connected together by that wooden yoke that keeps them going in the same direction. And Lord Jesus says, I'm in the yoke, but you come with me. You get in here with me. The ideal is that we are partnering with God, and we do that in prayer. You know, so often we come to God in prayer. We're just like little kids, aren't we? We don't have much to give. We have nothing to give, really. It's kind of like your little children. I remember years ago when my dad would mow the grass. And boy, it seemed like a giant yard to me. Now I look back on that. It was a tiny yard, you know. Sure seemed big to me when I was a kid. And my dad had one of those lawnmowers, just a push mower. And you know, most push mowers, they have, and of course, the handle at the top. And then there's another little handle down here just to keep everything supported. Well, guess where I pushed? Down there, underneath my dad. So here he is. He's pushing up here, and I'm below here on the next level. And boy, I'm just pushing away. I'm thinking, man, I'm doing a good job down here, you know? And from my point of view, I'm doing great, you know? But can I tell you something? I'm not really doing anything. My dad is above me with his hands on that, his muscles taut, and him pushing and doing the work. You know what he let me do? He just let me have a part in it. And boy, I felt so proud of myself. Brethren, that is what it is to partner with God. That is what it is for God to say, take my yoke upon you. I'll do the work. I'll empower. I will strengthen. I will enable. You come and be with me. Brethren, you know what? When we pray, that's what we do. We partner with God. Years ago, I thought this was an amazing story. Back on October the 15th, 1997, a man by the name of David Huxley, and I don't know why he got this idea, but he wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Now, there's lots of crazy things people do to get in there. But he strapped a harness around his upper torso, his upper body, and he attached it to a steel cable some 15 yards long. The other end of that steel cable was connected to the front wheel strut of a 747 jetliner that weighed 187 tons. Well, with his tennis shoes firmly planted on the runway, Mr. Huxley leaned forward, pulled all of his weight, and he began moving the jetliner down the runway. In fact, he pulled the 747 100 yards in 1 minute and 21 seconds. He holds the Guinness Book of World Records for pulling an aircraft. Praise God for that man, you know. What an accomplishment in life. But can I tell you something? It is a great picture of really what the Christian life is about. Do you know, with the engines running, that 747 could have ran down that freeway and down the runway at a great amount of speed and could have pulled up and lifted all 187 tons. The power that it was within that engine, within that plane, is a massive power. The man could only pull it for a little way down the runway. You see, God's work resembles that 747. God's work is something as impossible. If you'd have told that man, I want you to lift this plane up in the air, can I tell you something? It was impossible for him to do it. And brethren, for you and I to live the Christian life is trying to lift that 747 in the air and get it up off its ground. But the power is not within us. It is in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, as we come into His presence, as we spend time, as what John 15 talks about, if we will abide in Him, He produces the fruit through our lives. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit is other people coming to know Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, today we must recognize our utter helplessness, but our utter dependence upon God. Because when we work with God, we work in prayer and we partner with Him. He enables us. He strengthens us. He gives us that comfort. What are you struggling with today? Are you struggling with doubt in your mind? Are you struggling with thoughts of maybe what others have done to you? Are you struggling with the sorrow of loss of a loved one? Are you struggling with financial pressures? Whatever it may be, brethren, take it to the Lord in prayer. And when we do, we partner with God. He strengthens us. He works through us. You see, as I said before, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God in heaven works. Take your Bibles. Would you go to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9? I want to show you something very, very precious. Now, I want you to know this today. Prayer unites weak man to Almighty God in a miraculous partnership. When I pray, I'm accessing Almighty God. I'm partnering with Him. Parents, can I say this to you? We must do all that we should do as parents to raise our children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. That's God's command to you and me. Yes. But we are not perfect parents. And I make plenty of mistakes. And I'm not the greatest example, you know? And sometimes I get very frustrated with myself. Because I, in many ways, I struggle with this wanting to just be right in every little area. And I cannot in my own strength. And one night as we were having family devotions and I began to talk to my children, I began to realize in my heart, there is no way I can teach them everything they need to know before they leave our house. There's no way. There's no way I can give them every example. There's no way I can share with them everything. There is no way. But praise be to God, there is a God in heaven. And praise be to the Lord, the Spirit of God indwells my children because they have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I began to understand that, look here, I can do so much and it's very little. In fact, the Bible says we can do nothing. But brethren, when I partner with God in prayer, do you know what God does when we pray? He works on both ends. You see, He works in our heart, drawing us close to Him, sanctifying us, purging us, teaching us what it means to pray. But on the other end, He works in their heart. He deals with them. You know, when my grandfather was lost without Jesus Christ, well, I was so scared that Papa was going to die and spend eternity in hell. You know what we did? We prayed for my grandfather. We prayed for him. He was prayed for over 30 years that he would be saved and come to know Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what God did? God used that in our life as we sought the Lord. God was working in our hearts, but God was working on the other end. He was dealing in my Pepo's heart and he was bringing people into his life to show him Jesus Christ is the only way. Brethren, we partner with God in prayer. And by the way, let me tell you something about our praying. Do you know that God does not trick us in our prayer life? Now you say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Let's read Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus is speaking in particular here, and he says this, "And I say unto you, ask," Luke 11, verse 9, "and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And then Jesus gives us an example. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" The ideal here is you say, give the Holy Spirit, yes. Give, in a sense, the will of the Holy Spirit. Give in accordance to God's will to each and every one of us. And I want to say this to you. Brother, I want you to know something. God will never ignore or mock our prayers. Have you ever come to God before and thought, this is such a foolish prayer? It's not foolish to God. Lord, this is such a small prayer. It is not small to God. And then God gives us an example. What about a son? And he asks food. And I think it's pretty remarkable that God used the analogy of children asking for food, because they always ask for food, all right? We understand that. My wife teaches in our class here, and the kids are always, they seem to be always hungry. And one day she asked him, "Are you all always hungry? Raise your hand." And every one of them raised their hand. They're always hungry, you know. I mean, just always eating. And it's amazing to me, you know. My children now, I have to hide things in order to keep them, you know. I have to put favorite cereal up away, you know. I need to get me a safe, not to put my money in there, to put cereal in there, you know, and candy in there, keep from them. But is it not amazing that Jesus said, and he's talking to people, and he says, "Look, you guys are dads here. What if your son came to you and asked for bread? Would you give him a stone? Would you mock your son by giving him something that he cannot eat? Would you give him something?" And then he goes on, "What about if he asked a fish? Would you give him a serpent? Would you give him something that would harm him?" Mocking him, ridiculing him. Brethren, here's the great thing. God partners with us in our prayer. And let me say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, he works in our prayer life. And may I say, and I want you to notice this. You say, "Pastor, what does it mean that God partners with this?" It means this, that the Holy Spirit of God is the one who prompts our heart to pray. Do you know that none of us would pray unless God invited us to pray? Do you know that none of us would seek the face of God unless God sought us first? Listen, no man seeks God on his own. The Lord Jesus, he is the one who is the shepherd, who seeks the lost sheep. Yes, we understand that, but he is still seeking you and me. He is seeking to draw us close to himself, because it is there that we find peace and we find joy and we find fulfillment in life. He still seeks us. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 8. I want to show this to you. You know, the first move in our prayer comes from God's side. He sets in operation the practice of prayer in our hearts by giving us an invitation to pray. Do you know that prayer is not forcing ourselves into the presence of God. I don't want you to forget that. Prayer is not me busting down the doors to get into God's presence. Prayer is accepting his gracious invitation. I'm sure you've seen videos maybe of police that use that big old thing to knock down a door and to enter into the door. And you know what? That's how we think sometimes getting into God's presence is that way. The door's locked. It's bolted. We've knocked and he won't answer. And we've got to bust the door down. We've got to pray long enough so that God will finally hear us and let us have fellowship. And boy, the devil lies to us about entering into the presence of God. That's why Hebrews 4 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." You know what the Lord does? You say, well, Pastor, I just don't pray like I should pray. Well, there is someone within you this morning that is prompting you to pray. And it is the Spirit of God. You say, how do you know? Romans 8, verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. It says, Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Look here. If you're a child of God this morning, we are not to live in fear of our Heavenly Father. He's our Father. It goes on to say, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. And then notice what it says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that Abba, Father within your heart is? It's a cry of prayer. It's a cry of Daddy. It is a cry that I need you. It is a cry to God. Look here, brethren. God partners with us. He doesn't leave us to our own selves and our own resources. He placed within you the Spirit of God who indwells you this morning. And the Spirit of God, it prompts you and encourages you to pray and encourages you to talk to your Heavenly Father. There is something within every one of us that cries after our Father. It's kind of like a little child. And we have little babies around the church. And we have little Titus. Is he in the nursery somewhere? All right. Probably drinking some sweet tea somewhere. But anyway. And, little Titus. I'm hoping one day he'll like me, you know. Because right now, he doesn't even smile at the preacher, you know. And one day I was holding him, and he just started crying. And I was in the outside office there. And my wife came out making sure I was doing the right thing, you know. I said, he just started crying. You know why? Because he saw his mama. And when he saw his mama, he said, I don't like you anymore. I want my mama. Well, let me say something to you. We live in this world, and it gets kind of lonely in this world, does it not? And this world is not our home, by the way. We're just passing through. And brethren, there is something with my heart that cries out, God, I need you. There's something with my heart that God put there. I didn't place it there. The Spirit of God placed it there. It's that Spirit within me that cries out, Abba, Father. It's that thing that draws me to spend time with God. But why don't we spend time? Well, because there's lots of reasons. Our own selfishness, our own self-will. Oftentimes there's sin in our life. Guess what? Remember Adam and Eve when they sinned against God? When they were living in sin, did they run after Jesus or after God? No, they hid from Him. And brethren, so often we hide from God in prayer because our heart is not right with Him. You see, today, may God help us to learn that we can partner with God in prayer. Prayer is not forcing ourselves into His presence. It is accepting His invitation. That's why Jesus said, call unto me and I will answer thee. That's why He said in Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You notice He said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Well, that's a great promise, is it not? God says, call unto me. And brethren, God always answers our prayer, but there are times when God says no. In fact, you know that true praying is not praying of our own self, it is praying in the Spirit. That leads us to the third thing. Number three, we see the privilege of prayer. We see the partnership of prayer. But number three, the provision of prayer. Go with me. You're in Romans chapter 8. And I want you to go, if you would please, to verse number 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26. May I say to you, the two verses we're going to read here tells us that only in the Spirit's power can you and I pray in the will of God. Otherwise, our prayer can simply be selfish and self-centered. And look, if we think that praying is just, you know, Lord, I need $1 million. Lord, I need a new car. I need this. Now, wait a minute. That's not real praying. And like, think of children. Do your children ever ask you for something that you say no to? Well, you should be saying no, because there's lots of things they say that we should not give them. You know? Sometimes we have to tell our children, no, I'm sorry. That's not good for you. I know what is best for you. I'm your father. I'm your mother. God has placed me in your life. And brethren, sometimes we come to God. And by the way, have you ever prayed something before that you're thankful God did not answer? How many would raise your hand and say yes? There's been lots of things I prayed for that God didn't answer, and I look back on them now and I say, Lord, thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. Not the way I wanted it to be answered. But brethren, do you understand this morning that God has made a way, a provision for us to pray and to enjoy our prayer time? And that is to pray according to the Spirit. Now, don't let this scare you this morning. The Spirit of God indwells every child of God here this morning. The Spirit of God indwells you. He presides in you. And the Bible says that we will never lose the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not there to help us to speak in tongues, what some people think, or to enable us to do supernatural things. That's not the purpose. The Spirit of God is there to guide you, to teach you the Word of God, to lead you. The Spirit of God is there to help you to enjoy fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Oh, the Spirit of God, He indwells us today. We can grieve the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. We will never lose the Spirit. But let us see this morning. Romans 8, verse number 26. Notice what the Bible says here. It says this, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's our shortcomings. And I've got lots of them. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now look, can I stop and say this to you? That is not speaking in tongues there. That's what some people think. But that's not what it's saying. It is simply saying that, brethren, when you and I go to our time of prayer, do you really know what to pray for? Not really. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. But I don't know really what to pray for. But God does. And the Spirit of God in me knows what they need. So here's what we read on. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now listen to me closely. Do you know something this morning? I cannot pray in the Spirit if I'm harboring a grudge against another brother or sister in Christ. You just can't do it. I cannot pray in the Spirit if I'm allowing something through my eye gate or something through my ear gate that is dishonoring to the Lord Jesus Christ and grieves the Spirit of God. I can't pray in the Spirit. I cannot pray in the Spirit when I am not walking in obedience to the Lord. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It means to pray under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It means to be sensitive to His promptings in what to pray and how to pray and for whom to pray. Look here, you know what? When we enter our time of prayer, I have a prayer list. I have all of you on my prayer list, and I pray for you. But there are times when the Spirit of God brings someone to my mind to pray for. And you know what? Often I find out later that they were going through a difficult time and they needed a special touch of God. Well, there's been times when I've had friends to call or to text me, say, Pastor, I'm praying for you today, or I'm praying for you. You know what? It's at a special time when I needed their praying. But honestly, can I say this to you? My praying and our praying is so weak, is it not? It's kind of like, reminds me of when I was a kid and we lived and grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and for a few years, we moved to Somerset, Kentucky, and my dad worked there for Mack Trucking Company for just a few years. I have lots of memories about Somerset. I ran away from home in my dad's car, you know, and I wanted to go to work with him. I snuck in the back. Mom scared half to death, and sisters really didn't care. But anyway, just lots of things. I ran through a sliding glass door. My mom cleaned things so well. I was jumping in the house one night, playing around, and Mom closed the door accidentally, and I ran into it and destroyed it. And lots of memories about Somerset, Kentucky. We got out of there as quick as we could, all right? But, you know, growing up, I remember so often as a little kid, I'd find wild flowers sometimes. Sometimes I'd just find weeds. You know those little dandelions? They look pretty good to a kid, don't they? Dandelions look like nice flowers. Oh, I can remember sometimes bringing in some dandelions to my mom and putting them in a little cup of water. Mom, here you go. Oh, I was so proud of them things. I'd worked hard getting those things. I brought them to her. She just smiled and she'd hug me and, thank you, son, those are beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, they weren't beautiful. They was ugly, you know. You know why? They're weeds is what they are. I mean, now I'm trying to get rid of them out of my yard, you know, in the springtime. Try to kill them, whatever it can do. But can I say this to you? I think that's what it is when we come to God in prayer. We come and our prayers are really kind of weak, and sometimes my prayers are pretty selfish. But let me say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what He's doing? He's making intercession for you and me. You know what He does? When we pray, can I tell you? He takes our prayers and He makes them into prayers like you would never believe. By the way, you wouldn't believe the kind of prayers after they come through Jesus Christ and they get to God the Father. You see, prayer, God knows what we have need of even before we pray them. And brethren, Jesus makes intercession. He is our advocate. He, in a sense, is our personal attorney, our lawyer that goes on our behalf to God the Father. And I believe oftentimes He says, God, this is what he needs. I know he doesn't know how to articulate it. I know he doesn't have to know it. And he doesn't even know how to say it, but this is what he needs. You see, brethren, he is our advocate going on our behalf. May God teach us today to pray. And to understand that you have a Father in heaven who invites you into His presence to pray. He has the door wide open and He says, come on in. But I know what you think. I don't know what to say. Just go into His presence. Bear your heart to Him. Oh, the Lord is able to take the weeds and the dandelions of our prayers and He's able to make them what they need to be. I wonder today, are you failing in your prayer life? Has it been a long time since you spent time in prayer? You know, the old timers used to talk about it. They used to talk about praying through. You ever heard that term before? You know what that really meant? Just praying until you knew your heart was right. Praying until you just spent the time necessary with God. But we got to be on praying ground, as they also talked about. And that means that our life is right before the Lord. Years ago, some of the Christians, missionaries, would go to Africa. And they would reach the Africans with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they would be saved. And then they would teach the African men and women about spending time with God in His Word and in prayer. And because of how the African people were, they wanted to have that private time with God in prayer. And so they, each of them had a path that they had made to go to a clearing to where they could pray. It was close to their hut, and they would follow the path that they had made, and they would go to a place where they could pray in private, in secrecy before God. Well, as you know it is in your life and in my life, sometimes we don't spend the time in prayer, and we get out of fellowship with God. And we don't spend the time. And the African people would have it happen in their life. And oftentimes when they were not responding right and they were having a wrong spirit, one of them would say, brother, the grass grows on your path. You know what he was saying? Brother, you got to get back to that time alone with God. Look here, I don't know what you're dealing with in your heart today, but there's a God in heaven who does. And brethren, when we come to that time of prayer, I'm going to tell you what it does. It heals our heart. It helps us. Now you say, I got to keep praying about it. Absolutely. Sometimes we have to pray and seek the face of God. And God, help me to forgive this person. Lord, help me to love this person. And Lord, help me to trust you and not to worry and not to fear. Lord, help me to depend upon you. But as we pray, we partner with God and we work with God in prayer. May the Lord help us today and teach us to pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer.